Welcome to Alaska Edition, a weekly public affairs program produced by Alaska Public Media in the studios of KAKM.
Hello, and welcome to Alaska Edition from Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Ellen Lockyer. In the aftermath of Anchorage's municipal election, some expectations panned out, but there were some surprises. A $49 million school bond proposal failed to gain voter approval, and a citizens' initiative aimed at holding on to the city's tax cap passed. Election results are still unofficial, although they show a new Anchorage Municipal Assembly member who is finishing his term on the Anchorage School Board, and a new school board candidate who may be taking his place. Girdwood voters are on the fence about paying for police protection, while Muni voters are backing a marijuana tax. We have a lot to talk about this week. But first, let's introduce our guests. Ethan Berkowitz is mayor of Anchorage. Hello, Ethan.
How you doing?
Ed Graff is superintendent of the Anchorage School District. Hello, Ed.
Hi, Ellen.
And Kay Schuster is a candidate for school board and could be the newest member of the Anchorage School Board. Right now, she's closely leading Star Marcette with 35.1% of the vote, compared with Marcette's 34.6. Hello, Kay.
Hi.
Well, thank you all for being with us. So let's get right down to it. There was some, a few surprises after the municipal election, and maybe not greatly great surprises, but a couple of things took me for a loop anyway. So some people are saying that the liberal folks have taken a step up in this election in the city. Ethan Berkowitz, what is your take on that?
I don't take it that way at all. I look at it as the people who ran as pragmatists, who ran as problem solvers, prevailed in the election. Those who put their ideology first were the ones who didn't succeed. I also look at the support that we got for the municipal bonds as an indication that people feel basically confident about the direction that the city is heading. They understand that with change afoot in Juneau, we've got to do more for ourselves, and I think it says a lot to those who are looking at where Anchorage is going that the people of Anchorage are willing to invest in ourselves.
Right, so the people are paying for parks and police and fire, and that means they're sticking around for a while, I would assume.
They're sticking around because it's a great place to live, and we know that, and regardless of the storm clouds that are coming our way from Juneau or Washington, D.C., this is always going to be a great place to live, and people are willing to put their money where their houses are.
Right, and I've lived here a while. I can say yay to that. But the voters did turn down the $49 million school bond, which I thought was surprising. Mostly school bonds do pass. So, Ed Graff, what's your take on that?
Well, obviously, we're very disappointed, you know, and I was meeting with several principals this morning, and they shared the same sentiment. You know, these needs that we have of our schools are not going to go away. And they know that firsthand, being in the schools every day with the students and looking at our facilities. So, you know, at this point, we're disappointed, but we're going to regroup. We're taking a look at doing an exit poll, if you will, looking at a post-election survey, and really trying to determine what exactly voters were making their decisions based upon. You know, right now we can speculate and say that the dollar amount wasn't the right dollar amount. You know, because the state no longer does reimbursement, that could be part of what made their voting turn out the way it did, or just the financial concerns that they're hearing from the state and the fiscal climate. So all of those things are speculative at this point, and we're really going to just take a look at getting more information, getting a better understanding, and then come back and reprioritize what we have for our projects, because they're not going to go away, and we have an obligation to make sure that our students have safe facilities and that they can be used not only by the students every day, but by the public as well. As Mayor Berkowitz mentioned, you know, we have a lot of people who support our community. Public education has been greatly supported by the assembly, by members of the community here in Anchorage, and it's just unfortunate at this time that our bond didn't pass.
Well, it was fairly close. It was 48.8 for, 51.1 against, at least after the polls closed on Tuesday night. And as far as I know, the Proposition 1 covered pretty much maintenance, roofing, security cameras, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't building new schools.
No, it was a very deliberate approach that we took. The administration, my team worked closely on identifying those projects that we knew were going to be safety and security based, you know, roof replacements, security cameras. And so that's the approach we took. And like I said, those needs are still there. They remain there. And we're going to have to now figure out how to reprioritize them and come up with additional options for supporting those or funding those.
So, but the maintenance will have to be done at some point. At some point, the taxpayers are going to have to deal with it. The other thing I was going to say is you mentioned that last year's school bond did pass. At the time of the election, of the city election, the voters were assured that the state would pay its share toward that bond. And then, of course, the legislator reversed that retroactive to last January. So perhaps that had an impact on voting this year.
Yeah, again, we want to take a closer look at that and ask some of the voters what their thinking was and their decisions that they made. But I'm sure that all of those play some role and part in the thinking when people go to the ballot box.
Right. Well, Kay, let's bring you in. And you, first of all, what prompted you to run for school board?
Well, I've been with the district for several years, 17 years, and so I've seen a lot of programs and have formed a lot of relationships with administration and teachers, and we're getting ready to go through some very trying times, I believe, and especially with the bonds not passing and the state getting fiscal, we're going to have huge fiscal constraints. And so I want to be there, work with the board, the current board, and make sure that the programs that are working stay, and try not to affect the classrooms as much as possible. We got to keep those teachers in teaching.
Right. So the election is not official until the 19th, and although it looks like you are going to win your seat, who knows?
Right.
Should you win your seat, what kind of new ideas could you bring to the school board? Do you have some ideas of things you'd like to see done differently?
Well, I'd like to see the programs that are working stay, and the programs that aren't working, I want them out, and I want to be able to talk with the board and be a team player and make sure that they stay. And with the new bonds, or with the bonds not passing, I just think, and I can only speak as a voter and a parent in the Anchorage School District, I think the voters are just, when they looked at the ballot, they probably saw the $49 million, and then the remaining bonds underneath the ballot were right around $3 million. And so I think that probably just made them question, like, ooh, $49 million, when the other bonds were significantly lower. Mm. And I just think the voters are probably just being a lot more cautious. Mm. And so we'll see how it turns out when the next election, when the new ballots come out.
Okay, Mayor Berkowitz, would you like to weigh in on the failure of the school bonds to pass? Well, how is that going to affect your administration?
Well, we've always worked closely with the school district. I've got kids in the school. I've got family members that are teachers. In fact, some of the schools that are up for bonding, my son goes to a school that has suffered earthquake damage, and I don't know when he's going to get to play ball in the gym or take a book out of the library again. We've got to fix these problems, and there's things that all of us have to pay attention to. I do think that we need to recognize that this is an evolving period of time in the municipality's history and the state's history. The state is going to do a lot of things to push costs down on local government, and we need to do what we can to prepare for that and to build the capacity to absorb those new responsibilities. Those are challenges that we face as the municipality, as the school district, but all across Alaska.
Right. And the state will be, of course, reducing the amount of revenue sharing, et cetera, that the communities get. But there is no framework for how the communities are going to compensate for that, as far as I know.
The state hasn't prepared a framework for that. They haven't actively engaged with us, and they're doing things in a very haphazard and unsettling way, which I think will ultimately drive up costs. If we approach this in a more deliberative fashion, where you have the ability for local government, including the municipality of Anchorage, to work with the state legislature, to work with the governor's office, we can craft an overall fiscal system that works better for both the state and the municipalities. If we do it in a way where they're doing it in a patch quilt manner, it's going to be very expensive and ultimately inefficient and probably destined for failure. They're not giving it the kind of deliberation that we need. And this is one of the responsibilities we have, to be more proactive. I just don't think the legislature's quite ready to listen yet.
No, I was reading today's headline, and they're slashing the University of Alaska's budget, which will have that trickle down to maybe some teachers in Anchorage.
But you saw this in this last week, too, where they offered up a way of pushing retirement costs onto local government, and they pulled it back because they hadn't done their homework. Yeah. And I think you're going to see some of that as they try and throw ideas at the board, hoping some of them stick. What we need is the opportunity for people who have a clear idea of what to do to be invited into the process. I mean, for better or worse, we've got a legislative system where you've got 40 representatives and 20 senators, and they do what they want to do until they run out of ideas or they exhaust themselves. I don't think they're quite exhausted yet.
Yeah, we've got a week or so left, and then there's the scramble to the finish line to see what.
In this round, I think there'll be several more rounds.
Right.
Now, if I can go back to the bond, you know, that's part of what we're looking at is being a lot more intentional, deliberate, and strategic with it. And so with this bond not passing, us doing a survey, and then coming back also in looking at a much longer vision for the district, you know, 20-year visionary document, because the way we're doing things now with our CIP, it's really based on these projects getting approved. We don't have the funds in our budget to address the facilities that we have in the Anchorage School District, the needs that we have, the maintenance needs. And so, you know, much of our money goes to supporting personnel in the classroom, supporting the education of our students. So our takeaway from this is that we will be developing a 20-year kind of visionary document that will allow us to take a broader look at the needs across the district and plan accordingly whether or not we receive bond support.
Right. You just anticipated my next question, but you already answered it. And right before the election, the school, or at least the school district advocacy group, was running a TV ad that said that although the $49 million bond package looked pretty big, that the school district had already paid off well over $50 million in debts.
Yeah, for the last 3 years, the three-year cycle, we've paid off more debt than we have in the last 20 years. I mean, we've done a very good job of making sure that our payoff number is much greater than what we're asking for. And, you know, we've heard some pushback on that because the needs are still there. And so, you know, we have to figure out how we can continue to maintain safe, efficient structures, facilities, schools, and still meet the needs of our students in the classroom. And we can't generate revenue. We don't have taxing authority. You know, again, we've been very fortunate to receive a great deal of support from the assembly, the mayor, with the funding that we get. And at this point, you know, we're going to have to go back and figure out how to do more with getting those revenues to our city.
How does it work with increased enrollment? I mean, are the higher expenses, well, they're part of the cost of living. Also, it seems kids today need more stuff, you know, computer for every child. And so with is enrollment escalating? Is that one of the
Our enrollment has been relatively flat. You know, we haven't seen a great deal of fluctuation over the last year or so. And projections, you know, were up this year than what we had anticipated. So we had more students coming in. But what we are seeing in Anchorage is that our demographics have changed, and there's a great deal of benefit to having a diverse community like we do. There's a rich culture. There's an opportunity for understanding, you know, different students' desires and interests, and creating more of that global economy, if you will, potential. At the same time, when you have more diverse people, you have different levels of needs. You know, we have to increase the advanced placement courses for our students because we're finding that they need more challenging opportunities. We have to increase the world language opportunities because of just what's needed in our society. And in some cases, we have students who are not coming prepared. They don't have the foundation for learning, and so we have to provide opportunities for them. So that's the greatest thing that we have to continue to communicate. Because we're such a large district, we have such diversity, and the obligation to meet the needs of every student, we have to look at providing resources. And we do that most directly by putting teachers working directly with the students, and that takes money.
Right. Kay, would you like to weigh in on that from a school board perspective? Or
from a school teacher perspective?
From a school teacher perspective.
Yes, and like I said before, and they said, is that we are going to have to face some serious cuts. And preventing it from hitting the schools and the teachers, I mean, that's going to be my number one priority. There are many other things that, well, several things that can be cut, but I think we need to look and see whether or not that program is really
is effective. Go ahead, Mr.
In terms of, you know, this is part of the conversation. Mm-hmm. It's not just cuts. It's about redesigning some of the systems we have in place, because oftentimes we're mandated to do certain things by the federal government or the state government that might not be the most rational course for us to take. And I think there's something very liberating for us at this time in the state's history if we have the ability to redesign some of the systems that that link state and local governments. And if we do that, if this the local government, if Anchorage can have more autonomy, if we have more flexibility, there are things we can do better than the state can do that. But sometimes we're forced to absorb costs or to incur costs because of their mandates.
Right, because of the, going right back to the state constitution. But I was going to bring up any school funding conversation is going to go right back to property taxes. And Mr. Mayor, the tax cap, Prop 8, mm-hmm. the voters basically reversed what the Assembly did in October. Mm-hmm. Can you explain what happened there?
Well, that's on me. I mean, that's my responsibility. I don't think I did a very good job explaining what was going on. So, I look at it this way. We had and we've had different systems over the course of Anchorage's history. I think people looked at it at the ballot box and said, are you for the tax cap or against it? That really wasn't the question. It was about two different interpretations of what the tax cap is. Mm-hmm. One, which is the interpretation I had, is it's a ceiling. You can go up to the ceiling. If you don't go up to the ceiling, next year you can go up to the ceiling. The other interpretation is it's a ratchet, where if you don't go to the ceiling, that new level becomes the level that it becomes the ceiling next year. The problem occurs, for example, this year we had no snow. We could return the snow removal budget to the property taxpayers, but that would bring now under this interpretation, will bring the tax cap down. And the consequence of that is if next year we have a lot of snow, all of a sudden we've got to scramble to make cuts or to find the resources to plow that snow and remove that snow. And I think that lack of flexibility is problematic. I also think that when the state is talking about pushing tens of millions of dollars of costs onto us, we need to have a system that's flexible. And this is what the voters want to do, and we will react accordingly.
Wow. So the Assembly, and I was not the sharpest tool in the shed on this, when last fall, when apparently the Assembly passed this new, more flexible way of looking at the tax cap, it didn't get a lot of press. It was just popped into the paper one morning. I read the paper, and there it was.
It's not new. It'd been used in the past as well. Mm-hmm. In fact, the only time the municipality was taxed to the cap in recent years was 2013, mm-hmm. and they went into the school district and took $7 million additionally that year as well. So there's problems with this system. We're going to navigate through it as best we can, but I think people need to be aware that as the state fiscal system changes, as municipal assistance is cut, the money that comes, the sharing of the oil wealth, as more costs are incurred at the local level because the state is pushing them down on us, we're going to have to do something to make sure that our system meshes better with their system. But we don't know what their system is going to be yet.
Right. So, opponents of Prop 8, make sure I'm understanding this correctly, are saying that there would be no, you couldn't take advantage of tax relief. Like you mentioned, you have more money in the budget now because there was no snow the last couple of mm-hmm. years. And so that extra couldn't be handed back to
the property. No snow, price of fuel's down, a couple of good settlements, mm-hmm. But we don't know what's coming. And so what this stricter interpretation does, viewing it as a ratchet rather than a ceiling, means that you've got to put money away for the rainy day instead of returning it.
Right. So the failure of Prop 8, is that sending a message to your administration, or is it just you think maybe there's confusion at the polls as to what it was about?
The voters aren't often confused. I just don't think I did a good job explaining it. And like I said, this is on me. It's, you know, I was an advocate for viewing the tax cap in a certain way, and by not being persuasive enough and not getting the message out far enough, I don't think I was able to persuade enough people. And in fact, I don't think I persuaded very many people at all. So we will react, as I said, the way the voters want us to react, and hopefully in the future we'll be able to have a more rational system come into play.
There was another proposition, and I don't know if I could get you to comment on this, the Prop 9 in Girdwood, mm-hmm. which is apparently still on the fence. Last I looked, there were four votes separating. And
Thousands of votes are still out there, though.
Right, right. And things tend to trend toward the initial vote count. And I've spoken with Sam Daniel there with the Board of Supervisors. They had a meeting last night, by the way. Mm-hmm. So it looks like it's almost a 50-50 split because the Girdwood voters, and this would only affect Girdwood, they would pay a little more taxes to pay for policing because the Anchorage Police Department does not.
Anchorage Police is not allowed to go down there. They don't have a police service area.
Right, right. And so Girdwood, half of the town, half of the property owners are willing to pay the more for police protection, and the other half of the property owners are against that. They don't want higher taxes. And one gentleman said on the news the other night, well, Girdwood people are not committing the crimes, it's somebody else. But I didn't know if that was good reasoning, because the crimes are committed in Girdwood.
It is sort of utopian down there sometimes, I know.
Yes, I know. Well, let's get to maybe more sources of revenue. Voters did pass the marijuana tax. How's that going to affect the city? Do we know how many people are going to be opening shops in the fall, or do we know yet?
The estimates we're getting from our Treasury Department say we could get anywhere from $300,000 to about $900,000 of additional revenue this upcoming year. But we have additional costs that come along with it, and it's effectively going to be a wash. That's mm-hmm. that's the initial projection. We'll see.
We'll see. So we're at the we'll see stage. It's still, there are many, 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 many ballots out there still to be counted. So let's bring in our school folks again. Ed Graff, you are probably winding down your tenure here. What do you think you would like to see happen? And what are your successes, and what has not remained? What have you not done that you would have liked to have seen done?
Well, I certainly would have desired to be here longer with the Anchorage School District in this position, but situation being what it is, I'm here to support our students first, and our staff and our community. And so we've got a lot of celebrations coming up in the next few weeks, and want to encourage people to get out and support our students, acknowledge the hard work that they've done to be a part of all the music festivals that we have going on in our schools, as well as the graduations that will be taking place and the recognitions in schools. And again, just want to thank the community for their support for public education. You know, too often I hear from people, well, if we did things like this, you know, we could make some savings here, and we could, you know, get rid of this program. And I go back to, these are the programs, these are the opportunities that we're providing for our leaders today, our students, and for them to be able to have that presented to them in a great city like Anchorage, I don't think there's anything better. And we want to make sure that we're still continuing that opportunity for every single student out there. So I would like to see us continue to go in that direction, to continue to get the support from the community. And you know, the one thing I said coming into this position is that if I do nothing else, I can demonstrate to the public and the community as a whole the value of what we're providing for kids every day. And so I don't know how successful I was in doing that, but I still think that will always be my mission, is to make sure that people see the value in what's taking place in public education in our schools.
Right. In general, I mean, in your years here, have you seen any changes in like how the students react in the class? I know there's far more emphasis on technology than certainly there was when I was a kid. I mean, they seem to cope with that pretty well. Or do you see stress there?
I think you always lose something. You know, mm-hmm. It's interesting. I was talking with someone today about how there's the potential now for us not having to go to the ballot box. You know, we can do it by paper, or you know, and what do you miss when you have that? You miss that community connection. You know, the school is the place of the community, and having the neighbors walk over, cast their ballot, you know, see the facility, talk to the teachers, the parents who are around there, that means something to me. And that's what I think we are going to continue to struggle with, and perhaps try to balance as we change in society with technology. I mean, we've been doing online classes in the school district for over a decade now, mm-hmm. and we're seeing great success with it for some students. and people are talking about do something innovative. We've been doing those things. The innovative thing is that we're still maintaining that strong personal connection with our students and our teachers, because that's what happens in the real world. You have to have those people skills. You have to be able to interact, problem solve, be creative, collaborative. And so I think those are the things that I've seen the greatest emphasis and change of in our district, continuous change, trying to maintain those connections.
Wow. And I would like to maybe give Kay a quick opportunity to say, can people get involved? Because we have very little time left in the show.
Oh, people get involved with the school district?
Yeah.
Absolutely. We've always encouraged parents to get involved and community members to get involved. But I did want to say another reason why many, oh, you're out of time.
That's okay. We're out of time. Thank you, Kay Schuster, Ed Graff, Mayor Ethan Berkowitz. We've enjoyed talking to you all. And I just quick vote by mail next year. That's coming in. I'm glad you reminded me. I'm Ellen Lockyer. I'm your host. And you've been listening to Alaska Edition. We will be back next week. Thanks for tuning in.
If you have questions or comments about the program, you can email Alaska Edition at alaskapublic.org or write us at 3877 University Drive, Anchorage, Alaska, 99508. Alaska Edition is a production of KAKM. The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily represent those of KSKA, KAKM, the licensee, or their underwriters.